Grain markets continue their rally on Tuesday, cattle under more pressure. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics, joins us for our market wrap-up. Mike, let's start with the grain trade. More support here on Tuesday amid all of this U.S.-China optimism. A little off the highs here into the close, but beans showing some good strength here again on the day. What's your make on the grains and the optimism that's out there surrounding this U.S.-China framework and this meeting on Thursday?
Yeah, it seems to me, Jesse, the moderation in the grain rally and the moderation in the cattle break, at least more of a two-sided trade with fat cattle trying to hold up, makes a lot of sense given what we've digested since the weekend, and makes a lot of sense given that we're heading into the end of the month. And the end of the month brings with it the November soybeans going into delivery. We'll get a taste for what exactly the futures premium is to the cash market. And if the futures premium is substantial because it's sellers delivery notice type of reason for them being able to do the delivery process, does that induce some heavy deliveries and pull the market back? I think that, along with Thursday's takeaway from the U.S.-China trade negotiations between the two presidents of the two countries, are going to be two of the major grain drivers. I'd say the third thing that happened on Tuesday that is worth watching as we close out the week, and I think also helped moderate prices, was the WTI crude oil market, the soft red wheat market. They've been key support features to this price action to the upside. And as long as they stay supportive, I think that gives the grains, the row crops, further upside potential. But if we would start to see the WTI and the SRW kind of leak as we got towards the end of the week, that may take away from some of the strength. And the connection between those two this week has been that when we put the sanctions on Russian oil here in the United States, you could see a pretty clear shift to short covering in the crude oil market. And along with that, the Russians increased their export tax on their wheat. And I think that's because they need more dollars, they need more money to fund their war campaign. They're not going to get as much from the crude oil with these sanctions. And so that's kind of the connection between the two.
What I think about as well, you hit on some key things here this week and for the end of the month, but you know, I don't want to lose sight of, you know, end of the month, that typical type of volatile trade that we can get with things closing out on Friday. We got November beans going into delivery. The Fed is meeting this week with the talk of another 25 basis point rate cut. And then, of course, the U.S.-China meeting with Trump and Xi. There are a lot of headline items that will most likely have market impacts here throughout this week, Mike.
I think you're right. And I think the best thing that happened this week was this past weekend when the president went over and did a lot of deals with countries like Cambodia and Vietnam and Indonesia. These are heavily invested countries in U.S. agriculture already, especially Vietnam. And with the latest news on Tuesday about doing some trade work with Japan, I think that speaks very well for our biofuel sector. I think the biofuel leaders in the country have even said that in some of their press releases. Whether it's Growth Energy, whether it's the National Corn Growers Association or the American Soybean Association, all of their press releases I read early in the week were suggestive of the idea that these were not just framework deals, that these had some teeth to them in terms of increasing ethanol and soy diesel when it came to export potential. And I would add to that, it also, I think, increases and gives us greater access for the U.S. meat and poultry exports. And I think maybe the cattle market started to wake up to that on Tuesday, along with what you're talking about, Jesse. It is month end, and October fats go off the board, and October fats are at a pretty significant discount, at least based upon some of the cash sales I've seen around the country, and maybe that means something at this point.
Let's touch on this cattle market, too, here before we wrap up today. And you mentioned it. We see fat cattle trying to find some green into the close Tuesday, while feeders still testing close to some of those expanded limits, especially in the deferred contracts. And have to wonder, it seems like a lot of fund liquidation has happened here the last several days in the cattle futures. Wondering, you know, when the other shoe drops and when the fall subsides here. I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm paying attention to. What are you watching across this cattle trade?
I think that's really astute to keep track of those things, along with the fact that I think one of the big differences between feeders and corn, or feeders and fats, has been that corn market and that fund being market being wrapped up in being long feeders and short corn, and that being unwrapped here pretty aggressively by at least my estimation, not knowing exactly what we're doing without the commitment of traders report. But it would seem to me that if we would see a weakening of the corn market for some reason, because of the wheat and or because of negative news coming from China and the U.S.-China trade negotiations, will that help the feeders? And I think that's one of the issues that the fat cattle don't have to deal with it right now, Jesse. I think the other thing that goes back to northern cash trade, Yankton, South Dakota reported 1,500-pound steers going for $235.50 here again. Yeah, that's up in the north, but that's quite a distance away from the October fat cattle futures price. And we've also seen the feeder fat spread really kind of collapse here, where the feeders are only about $1.15, $1.12 premium to the fat cattle. Earlier this month, end of September, that number was closer to $1.25, $1.35. So I think we're doing the job of getting the prices down to meet fundamental supply-demand support. I think the next thing we need to be watching for in the cattle specifically is I think the trade has really bit off into the idea that we're going to bring in Brazilian beef to help bring beef prices down as a policy move, but we're not there yet. So I think that's another key trade issue that we need to keep focused on. And if we don't get any Brazilian beef agreements, does that mean we have a short covering turn in these markets?
Mike, any final thoughts you would mention or reiterate for folks here today on the market wrap-up?
Only thing I'd also mention, Jesse, on the soybean complex is the idea that the soybean oil has been really supportive of the market because of these trade deals, I think. But with the weakening of the crude oil market, we saw bean oil go lower. Meal held in there very nicely. Argentina is another big key to the piece of this puzzle, I think, that's led to this rally. Their currency, their stock market rallying after their election, and that makes their goods more expensive. So watching what develops in South America as far as the currency markets too.
Mike, if folks want to reach out for a conversation there at Global Commodity Analytics, what's the best way?
Best place is globalcomresearch.com, and it's globalcom with two M's. You can look at the product services brochure for 2026 and sign up for a two-week free trial to the blog post and the email.
Always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, thanks for joining us on the Market Wrap-Up today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me, Jesse. Have a great day, sir.
Thank you very much. You too. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, joining us for the Market Wrap-Up for Tuesday, October 28th, here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.